Thank you, Jesus. We just ask that the revelation of you and your light come forth and fill this room, that everyone has the eyes of their heart enlightened with your light so that they can understand the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and so that they can receive this revelation deep inside of them by having the eyes of their heart enlightened in Jesus' name. Okay. Today we're going to teach you probably one of the most powerful revelations that we've ever received up to this point. It's a revelation about the soul
and how the glory light of Jesus is the supernatural tool that can heal your soul.
I'm going to show you today biblically how the health and the condition of your soul is directly connected to your personal peace level and the contentment level that you have been longing to feel. Okay, I'm going to show you biblically how the health of your soul is connected to the health of your relationships between husbands and wives, family members, friends, the people in the church, the people in businesses. I'm going to show you today how the health of your soul will directly affect your level of dominion over demonic powers. That when you get healing in your soul, your level of dominion will completely leap up in its authority. I'm going to show you today how the healing of your soul is directly connected to your financial increase. The increase in the blessing that you've been waiting for, believing God for, and He said is going to come, is being held up because you have woundedness in your soul that hasn't healed yet. And I'm going to show you biblically how the healing of your soul can be directly connected to the supernatural healing of your body that you've been believing for. That there are people with afflictions or recurring sicknesses or things like that that are being held up in their healing because of the wounds inside their soul.
Then I'm going to show you how the glory light of Jesus Christ is the supernatural tool to heal the wounds in your soul
so that you can get all of the blessings and the promises that you have been waiting for your whole life. Now, as we begin, I want to lay a foundation about the soul. So hold on with me as I do this so you can have an understanding about how the soul works. Okay, what constitutes your soul, man? Your mind, your will, and your emotions make up the soul. We're three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit, right? When we were born again in Christ Jesus, our spirit man was made instantly perfect. Okay, there's no sin, there's no darkness, there's no woundedness in our spirit man. We have the same spirit of Christ. It lives in us. That's what the Word of God says. Okay. However, upon your regeneration in Jesus, your soul was not made instantly perfect. Okay, your mind, your will, and your emotions are constantly under the process of being brought into a state of healing and into the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why 1 Corinthians 10 says that instructs us that we are to take every thought captive into that would set itself up against God into captivity to Christ. That scripture indicates to us that there's a process of bringing your mind, your will, and your emotions into a place of healing and submission to Jesus. Okay, so upon your regeneration, your spirit man is made instantly perfect, but your soul man is not. How many of you know our soul's a mess? Over our lifetime, each and every one of us have gone through situations, circumstances, different events that have deeply wounded our soul. Okay, now the wounds on your soul can completely affect your peace level and the way you feel every day inside yourself. Okay, because the wounds on your soul can affect the way you think. They can affect your mind. The way you think cause you to take wrong actions, make wrong decisions. The wounds in your soul can affect your will, your ability to choose right and wrong. The wounds on your soul can affect your emotions. They can cause you to have unhealthy, unbalanced, even dangerous emotions like depression, anxiety, loneliness, jealousy. Have you ever woke up one day and just said like, man, what is going on? And you just feel miserable? And you're thinking, what is that, God? It's more than likely you're feeling an effect of a wound that's inside your soul. The wounds on your soul are what can cause strife and contention between husbands and wives, family members, friends, loved ones, church members, people at work. You see, when people have wounds on their soul from events that happen throughout their life, what happens is this, is they begin to speak to other people out of the bitterness of those woundings. Listen to proof from the book of Job in chapter 10. This is Job speaking. He said, I am weary of my life and I loathe it. I will give free expression to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Okay, do you remember what happened to Job? His entire family and everything he owned was completely wiped out. Do you think that those events could leave wounds on his soul? You bet they did. Okay, and now Job was lashing out at God and his friends who were trying to console him out of the bitterness that was in his soul. I want to tell you a story, and this team member has given me permission to speak about this. Stephanie Medeiros has been our executive director from the beginning. She came on. She was the first person that I ever had as part of this ministry. She's a extraordinarily, almost jaw-droppingly talented person for administration. As soon as she came into this ministry, I went from being me, myself, and I trying to do a little prison ministry to being catapulted to a whole new level. She has a corporate anointing on her that's just unbelievable. She's just totally amazing. Now, as we began to work together through the years that we have been in this ministry, bringing the mission that God has called us to pass, some things started to develop between us in our relationship. If Stephanie had a plan that she wanted to execute, and she has a lot of good plans, she would bring me that plan and I would say, that sounds awesome. Let's do it. She would just be like on it. She would make it happen. It would explode. We would go to a whole new, another level. It was just incredible. But if she had a plan and she brought it to me, and I looked at part of it and I said, you know what? I love it, but I don't like this part. Or no, I don't like the whole thing. Let's try something else. She would get extremely offended and begin rebelling against me. She would be arguing with me, constantly arguing with me if I wasn't in agreement with her. If I agreed with her, she was okay. But if I told her, I don't like the way you're doing it, let's do this, she would flare up and begin to rebel against my headship. And it got worse and worse and worse as we went on. Then we began to seek the help of headship that's over us to give us counsel. And they began to instruct her and say, look, you need to submit to Katie. She's headship. And even if she doesn't, if she's not right and she makes a mistake, you'll be blessed because you submitted. And then the Lord will deal with Katie for what mistake she's made. So they began to instruct her like that, and you could see she understood the biblical precept. She wanted to do it. She was desiring. She would start out. She'd go, okay, yes, I'm going to do this. She would start out, and she would try her hardest. You could almost see her like gritting her teeth, trying to submit to when I would have to, you know, put my headship over her. But it would always, in the end, she'd crack, and she would begin to rebel and argue with me again. It finally got so bad that her responses were like extremely emotional and troubling. And I actually asked the Lord, I said, should I let her go? And he said, no, I'm going to do something amazing. It's going to completely change your relationship with each other. Okay, shortly after that, we began to get this revelation I'm going to share with you today about the wounded soul and about how the light of Jesus is a supernatural tool to heal the soul. And when I began to apply the light first on myself and my family and my team members, because I wanted all my team to be healed. And as we began to soak Stephanie in the light, how many of you know in his light you see light, you get revelation? That's what the scripture says. She began to get a revelation about why she was doing that. You see, her whole life, she had never had any woman be over her as headship except her mother. And unfortunately, the relationship between her and her mother was an unhealthy and very bitter one. So what happened was, here it comes. I'm the only other headship she's ever had that comes in a female body. So the wounds in her soul that were formed by this unhealthy, bad relationship with her mom were now coming up and being released against me. She was speaking to me, like Job said, out of the bitterness of her soul. And when we got that revelation, it's like, wow, so eye-opening, right? And we began to soak those wounds in the light of Jesus, which we're going to show you how to do that later. And she got the healing. And I'm telling you, this is so cool. Our relationship completely changed. And here is the coolest part. She didn't have to try not to rebel against me anymore. She just didn't. Because you see, when the wound is gone that's in your soul, that wound, remember, controls your mind. It controls your emotions. It controls your will, your ability to choose right and wrong. But when the wound gets healed and it's gone, then it's no longer controlling you. So it's not even there trying to make you rebel. So you don't even have to try not to rebel anymore. You just don't even want to. And our relationship has never been the same. It's completely amazing now. The wounds in your soul can cause trouble between people, between you and your spouse, your children, your friends, your people at church. It's all coming out of the woundedness in your soul. People are speaking to each other out of the bitterness that's in their soul. And you know what? Half the time, the stuff they're saying to another person doesn't have anything to do with that person. It has to do with a wound that happened to the person who's speaking way back when in their life. Okay. The wounds on your soul, man, were created by sin. Someone either sinned against you or you sinned against yourself. Maybe someone sinned against you. They verbally abused you, or they molested you, or they rejected you. Okay, or maybe you sinned against yourself. You committed adultery. You got involved in drugs or alcohol or watching pornography. Either way, it's sin that creates the wounds in your soul, man. Now listen to what Mark 9 says about this to prove it. It says this, and I'm reading from the Amplified. If your eye causes you to stumble and sin, pluck it out. It's more profitable and wholesome for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm which preys on the inhabitants, and listen to this, and is a symbol of the wounds inflicted on a man himself by his sins, does not die. Okay, this scripture is talking about wounds and where they're at. They're on your soul. How do I know that? Because it's talking about your eye, right? If your eye causes you to stumble and sin, pluck it out. There in that scripture, the word eye means the eyes of the mind, the faculty of knowing. What makes up the soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when it talks about the eye there, it's talking about more than just your literal eye. It's talking about your soul. Okay, haven't you ever heard the phrase, the eye is the window to the soul? Okay, so it's talking about your soul, and it's talking about how the wounds get on your soul. The scripture says, quote, that there's a worm in hell which preys on the inhabitants there and is a symbol of the wounds inflicted on the man himself by his sins. According to scripture, that's how the wounds got there. Someone sinned against you, or you sinned against yourself. It's so cool that the scripture calls those sins and the wounds that they create worms, because what's a worm when it gets into your intestines? It's a parasite. It can cause you death and bad disease and horrible discomfort and pain. That's what sin does to your soul. It's a worm. It's a parasite that can literally put a gouge or a gash inside your soul, man. Okay, so once sin creates a wound in your soul, listen to this part. Once sin creates that wound in your soul, it will cause you to sin even more. Even if it was created by somebody else's sin against you, it will cause you to sin even more. That's why Mark 9 says, if your eye or the wounds in your soul cause you to stumble in sin, pluck them out. Okay? A wound in your soul created by sin causes you to sin anymore. You ever heard, like, some people, not everyone, but people who are abused as children grow up to be abusers themselves, but they don't want to. Do you think that they want to do that? Because when they're being abused, they think that this is the most horrible thing that's ever happened to me in my life. How can I bear it? But yet they grow up to do the same thing. Why do you think that is? Because there was a wound put on their soul created by that sin, and that same wound is now causing them to do the very thing that they don't want to do. And Paul talks about that in Romans 7. Listen, he says this. Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin principle which dwells in me, listen, fixed and operating in my soul. Did you hear that? Paul is saying that the last thing he wanted to do was sin, but the sin principle that was fixed and operating inside his soul was making him do it. It was overwhelming him and causing him to sin. It was controlling him. Wow, that's what the wounds in your soul do. They're created by sin, and they cause you to sin even more. They control you and make you sin even more, even though you don't want to do it. Now, I want you to think about what's going to happen when those wounds are healed. You know, how many of you heard everybody preaching now about holiness and righteousness and purity and blamelessness? And boy, that's a good word, right? Because we're being called to a higher level in God than ever before. But I'm telling you what, you cannot be walking in purity, holiness, and righteousness when the wounds inside your soul are fixed and operating there, and they're controlling you and causing you to sin.
When they get healed, that's when the sin will begin to cease. I mean, you can say all day long, I'm not going to yell at my husband. I'm not going to hit my kids. I'm not going to overeat. I'm not going to watch that bad TV show. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do those drugs. And you can hold out with all your might and hold your breath and try your hardest. But finally, you're going to do exactly what Paul says you're going to do. You're going to do the thing you do not desire because of the sin principle that's fixed and operating in your soul. Ooh, Jesus. But when our wounds are healed, hallelujah, it's going to be easy to walk in holiness and righteousness. We're going to be flowing in the Spirit. We're no longer going to be troubled by the wounds in our soul. It's going to be easy for us to be only listening to the words and acting out the words of God and taking action on what God's telling us to do, because we're going to be moving straight and purely out of our spirit, unhindered by the wounds in our soul.